Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to stephaniemiller.com to find out how.
I have paper cuts from my Glenn stack already. Uh-oh. Hi, good morning. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Steph. A lot going on the justice front.
Wow. Where should we start? I don't even know where to start. Let's start with Ivanka. So they are asking her, this is not a subpoena yet, they're asking Ivanka Trump, but there was a lot in this letter that was released publicly, as if to say, we already have a lot of stuff, right? I mean, give me your... obviously, Liz Cheney had said before, we know his daughter, we have firsthand testimony. She went in at least twice to ask him to stop this violence. That was previously. So what is your take on Ivanka, first of all, and what's going to happen there? And also, she's in the New York AG thing, which looks more like criminal culpability, right, in that she was the one that dealt with Deutsche Bank and may have signed false statements. But go ahead.
Yeah, she's going to be privy to some of Daddy's corrupt intent, his state of mind, what he was thinking, what he was saying. And so those statements are important. Like you say, Steph, you know, we can see the investigative circle tightening because they're beginning to get to the players who are closest to Donald Trump, Rudy Giuliani, and now Ivanka. That is a sign that they are nearing the end of their investigation, because you don't begin stepping to the main players or what might actually be the targets of the investigation until the very end, because you want everybody else's account of what happened. You want the documents, the texts, and everything else. And then you want to confront the main players with that evidence. And Ivanka better remember there is no daddy-daughter privilege that she can invoke to try to
that's
prevent.
That's not a thing.
That's not a thing. And there is a husband-wife privilege, but I'm not even going to go there.
Nothing for daughter-wife in the law.
But the only question for Ivanka, and we may all know the answer to this, Steph, but I think it's a serious question. You know, does she want to be a patriot? Does she want to tell the American people about what was going on that day? Or does she want to be part of the cover-up? Does she want to join the cover-up club, which presently consists of Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan, Scott Perry, and she will be at least the fourth member. If she decides that, even though I have important, relevant, and potentially incriminating information about what my father said and did, I'm not going to provide it. There's a term for that, Steph. It's called a cover-up. Did these people learn nothing from Watergate?
Joe, exactly. Well, Glenn, you tweeted, I believe, about, you know, does the Supreme Court ruling on the records change the calculus for these other people? Because, clearly they blew up, that there's no, executive privilege. As you said, there's no daddy-daughter privilege. Yeah. And it would seem to me that Giuliani, et cetera, the crime fraud exemption would say there's no attorney-client privilege. Talk to us just about the privilege question.
Yeah, so the key is, though, that the answer to the question, shouldn't the Supreme Court lay this executive privilege nonsense to rest? The answer is yes, if you care about the law, and these people don't care about the law. So they will continue to lodge, legal challenges, mainly frivolous legal challenges, some meritorious, like attorney-client, that's a real privilege. Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination, that's a real privilege. Any number of these witnesses, Steph, like a Rudy Giuliani, could waltz in to the House Select Committee and say, I invoke the Fifth, and he would be excused after invoking the fifth 500 times, like Eric Trump did in New York, he would be excused because that's a legitimate privilege. Yeah. He gets to invoke that. You know, no matter how cruddy you are, the Constitution protects you against self-incrimination. But these people don't care what the Supreme Court has said about Trump having little to no executive privilege. They're going to keep fighting the corrupt fight.
Yeah. Sorry, we have a lot of dog-related activity this morning. You brought up Giuliani. So, again, not sort of a surprise, but it's still a legitimate bombshell that we know now Giuliani is behind the fake elector thing. On December 14, 2020, day of the Electoral College vote, Republican electors convened in capitals of five states that Biden won. They declared themselves duly elected and qualified, sent signed certificates to Washington. The Trump electors gathered in plain sight, assisted by Rudy Giuliani, who said publicly that rival states were necessary and appropriate. These were necessary and appropriate. Internally, Giuliani oversaw the effort. I mean, how is this not? Well, I mean, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel said this is a slam dunk, this fake elector case. What do you think?
And one of the most interesting questions, I think, that ultimately the Department of Justice will have to confront is, are we dealing with one overarching conspiracy and we can pull a whole lot of different sort of strands of information and investigation into it? Or are we dealing with separate conspiracies? I can tell you, anytime we bring a big conspiracy case, like a RICO conspiracy case, every single defense team will attack our indictment decision saying, no. If this was anything, it was six little conspiracies. It wasn't one big conspiracy. This is beginning to feel, particularly with the revelations about the fraudulent electors and Giuliani heading that up and, you know, Jeffrey Clark at DOJ and John Eastman with the bogus memo, how to, you know, overthrow the government. It feels like one big overarching conspiracy. And I hope that's the way DOJ gets after it. But then at some point, we should talk about whether DOJ is going to get after it.
Well, yeah, I mean, clearly all of the templates being exactly the same in the seven states would, I'm not a lawyer, Glenn, but that seems to me to be pretty, hard evidence.
Not a coincidence.
Right. So where else do we go here? Hang on. Harry Lipman had a tweet, wanted to get your take. Again, so many things swirling around this morning. He said, for reasons I've said for a while, Fulton County poses the most direct personal threat to Trump. The scandal is, but the scandal is metastasizing quickly and now may threaten Team Trump more than any is the forgeries. They've got Watergate level potential breadth. So what is your take? We got a lot of walls closing in. I mean, obviously, we have to talk about Fulton County requesting a special grand jury. And also, primarily because she's not getting cooperation there, right? I mean, she said, it's Fannie Willis, right? Mm-hmm. Is requesting a special grand jury to aid in her investigation of Trump and his efforts to overturn the Georgia's election results. She said the move was needed because a significant number of witnesses and prospective witnesses has refused to cooperate with the investigation, absent a subpoena requiring their testimony, including Raffensperger. Such a low bar for what a good guy is on the Republican side, right? Like, people that do the right thing once, right? But anyway, so-called special purpose grand juries are rarely used in Georgia, but could be a valuable tool. They can issue indictments, right? They can subpoena witnesses, compel production of documents, etc. So that's what people don't realize. They can't indict, but she needs to get to indictments. She needs the stuff they can compel, right?
Yeah. So, and I actually think there's a parallel that we can draw between what's going on in the House Select Committee and what we're learning about what's going on in Fulton County, Georgia. Because think about this. Fannie Willis asked the chief judge of the Fulton County Superior Court for permission to impanel a special grand jury. And I assume he's going to grant that permission. And that is because, according to D.A. Willis, some witnesses are not cooperating, or at least they're not cooperating without a subpoena. Some witnesses want a subpoena, Steph, for the protection of being able to announce to the world, look, I didn't want to cooperate, but I have a legal obligation, or I could be held in contempt because now I have a subpoena. It gives them cover. It's almost for show. But here's the thing. Remember how the House Select Committee has already talked with 400 witnesses, but there's that small batch, the cover-up caucus, who refuse to provide information, right? Down in Georgia, I suspect Fannie Willis has gotten cooperation from lots and lots of people in the regular grand jury, but some people are bucking her, and that's why she needs the subpoena power of the special grand jury. So, yes, I think Georgia is moving out. But here's the main point, Steph, on the subpoena front. And I think we need to start, you know, beating this issue like a rented mule. All subpoenas are not created equal. Here's why that's so important. Congressional subpoenas, we have come to learn, are toothless, mainly because Congress has extracted its own teeth by refusing to use its own inherent power of contempt to force testimony, right? So that's why we see the Jenna Ellis's of the world. Yeah. Did you see her tweet? She said, you know, the committee's just mad because they can't date me.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
how she responded. Yes. I went to make sure that was not a mock-up, right?
She's
a
no, Photoshop we know tweet. AOC. She is no AOC. But quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have, the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform, one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. NetSuite.com/Miller. NetSuite.com/Miller. One more time, NetSuite.com/Miller. But yes, go ahead.
But so congressional subpoenas are largely toothless. I mean, the House yeah. Select Committee needs to keep doing what it's doing. Mm-hmm. New York civil subpoenas, like were issued by Tish James to the Trumps, are not toothless, but they're civil and they can be fought in court and they take a long time. Georgia subpoenas, you know, you need to go to the chief judge and ask permission. Can I please use a special grand jury? New York criminal subpoenas, like DA Alvin Bragg now yeah. taking over for Vance, is using, you put somebody in the grand jury, they instantly get immunity. You know what the mother of all subpoenas are? Federal grand jury subpoenas. That's the kind of subpoena issued by the Department of Justice. They can't be defied, they can't be ignored, they can't be disregarded, because if you defy a federal grand jury subpoena, we send the marshals to your house, you're locked up, and your butt is in the witness chair in the grand jury immediately. And guess what? You want to raise a privilege, Steph? You know what we do? We walk across to the chief judge's courtroom. We litigate the privilege in real time. Done. No yeah. Don McGahn 2 years running out the clock. That is why DOJ needs to step up. They need to move out. They need to start subpoenaing these people to the federal grand jury.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of Tish James, our friend, your friend and mine, Barb McQuaid, was on yesterday. It was interesting. You know, the Trump Organization statement, of course, just attacked her personally. Didn't refute any of the, you know, things she said in the. But, you know, I think Barb was saying she feels she's been too public, you know, that's given Trump's ammunition. But to me, I'm like, I'm sorry. Running on putting criminals in prison is what mm-hmm. attorney generals do. And the Trumps have been criminals their entire life. If you follow the Pulitzer Prize winning New York Times story and more, fraud has been their business model. So how is that? I don't see what's wrong with that. Her running saying, I'm going to, you know, finally bring the Trumps to justice. Who, you know, like you say, been getting away with this for God knows how many years.
Yeah, it's really not out of bounds to say when people commit crimes, particularly high government officials who we trust
right.
with very weighty responsibilities, they ought to be held accountable. They ought to be indicted, tried, yeah. convicted, and punished. That is, you know, our nation and our rule of law. So, yeah, I'm fine with that.
So you tweeted, if the DOJ fails to criminally indict Trump, Trump won't need Pence in 2024. He'll use the DOJ as his shadow running mate, claiming the DOJ's decision not to charge him is definitive proof that he committed no crime. It'll be like the DOJ co-signed everything Trump has done. I mean, this is what I'm glad the move that Fani Willis just made, because I feel like, aren't you having flashbacks to Mueller? Like, you're like, right, they couldn't get to the underlying crime yeah. of criminal conspiracy because of all the obstruction. They successfully obstructed, and then Bill Barr successfully lied enough to the American people about what was in what Mueller did find that, you know, they get to keep repeating that. Mueller exonerated him when that is not the case. So this is what obviously is happening again. He actually used the same words. He said, my call in Georgia was more perfect than the Ukraine call, right?
Yeah, and Steph, let me draw an analogy that will be unpopular in some quarters. When we know that Trump stood by for more than 3 hours and gleefully watched his angry mob attack the Capitol and did nothing, I'm starting to feel, and I hesitate to say it because it is my beloved DOJ, like DOJ is watching our nation and our democracy being attacked for 3 hours, 3 months, 3 years, and they're standing by. They're standing back and standing by, and they're not addressing it in a way that has raised the anxiety level of this nation. It's raised my anxiety level.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to know they're protecting us. They're protecting our democracy. They're fighting crime. And as everybody keeps observing, people way smarter than me, there is no outward indication that the Department of Justice is going after the people who orchestrated, funded, organized, and incited the attack on our democracy. They really need to get off the dime.
Yeah.
Does this Supreme Court ruling, I mean, I know you talked about that and obviously the investigative circle tightening, does that move things quicker in any way? I mean, obviously for the other people we've talked about, I mean, they really, somebody I know of other legal experts were saying, like, it's hard to underestimate what a smackdown this was legally for executive privilege in general, right?
Yeah, I think one concrete way it may move things forward is in the event the DC U.S. Attorney's Office was waiting for this decision from the Supreme Court to indict Mark Meadows. We're on day 39 yeah. of the Mark Meadows indictment watch. This is a man who 39 days ago was referred for prosecution. And weeks before that, he absolutely committed the crime of contempt of Congress. If you or I committed it, we would have been locked up promptly. So I hope maybe the U.S. Attorney in D.C., Matt Graves, was waiting for the Supreme Court to say no executive privilege. So that clears the way for a Mark Meadows indictment. Yeah. With a little luck, we'll see that in the near future.
Yeah. Well, and also this fake elector scam. I mean, I hope Dana Nessel is correct that, yes, there can be state charges, but this is clearly a federal conspiracy when you have likely seven states that, you know, have the exact same template for, you know, an illegal act like that, right?
And I saw Dana Nessel say that. I'm glad she's strong and outspoken and referred this to the feds for criminal investigation. But Steph, this isn't a state problem. And we shouldn't right. leave it to Georgia or New York or Michigan to clean up what is a federal mess. This is a federal problem. Donald Trump committed federal crimes and he needs to be indicted federally.
Well, and also you, in terms of the seditious conspiracy charges, you tweeted the seditious conspiracy indictment ups the criminal ante on the foot soldiers of the insurrection. Now DOJ charged the command structure. I mean, this was a big leap, right? That we now have seditious conspiracy.
It was an important charge because now we know there was an organized effort to violently overthrow the U.S. government. But you know what? If you only take out the foot soldiers of the insurrection, you're allowing the command structure to do what? Recruit a whole new batch of foot soldiers and give it a second go.
Yeah.
That's where we're headed if they don't start getting after Trump and company.
Throw us a bone before we leave. You tweeted, ex-girlfriend of Matt Gaetz granted immunity, testifies before grand jury. Immunity's not granted lightly, is it?
No. And we only grant immunity when, one, the person has a legitimate Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination that we need to deal with. We need to extinguish so we can pave the way to get their testimony to help us go after bigger fish. So the fact that she, one, was granted immunity, and two, has been presented to the grand jury, I think that's one giant step toward Matt Gaetz being indicted. It's not a done deal. It's not a sure thing, but it is way more likely now than it was before that information broke.
Yep. All right. Thank you for the bone, and thank you for your giant gavel of justice. We will talk to you
next week.
Talk to you next week. All right. There he goes. Aww. Love you.